Welcome to Season 5 of the Long-Winded One podcast. Listen as we showcase original work from top Royal Road authors, read by professional voice actors. Hear interviews from your favorite lit RPG and game lit authors. Lastly, listen as the Long-Winded One tries his hand at his first ever lit RPG novel, The Four Treasures.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of The Long-Winded One. With me tonight, I have an author from Royal Road. His name is Zrael. In this episode, we're going to ask all the burning questions that we want to know about this author. And then released on the very same day, we're going to release some of his original work. Welcome to the podcast, Zrael.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You got it. And if you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got into this whole thing, if there's anything that's maybe influenced you to date.
Where I'm from, I'm originally from Austin, Texas. However, my family was military, so I have lived in various other places. As for influences, I have always enjoyed books and comic books and video games and various, basically storytelling. It didn't come to me until very later in life that I was essentially just, I was a lover of stories and movies, and every way you can tell a story, I have immediately fallen in love with. So stuff like D&D and tabletop games and all sorts of things.
So are you still a D&D player?
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Although I prefer science fiction to fantasy.
What's your most recent game that you've been playing with your friends?
Yeah, Mouse Ritter was run by a friend of mine. And yeah, we've been playing together for a long time now. And so we like to try little obscure games. And that's kind of how we wound up into Mouse Ritter, which is a fantastic little tabletop game.
I am very prone to going off on tangents, so I'm going to reel myself back in a little bit if I can and go with the next question, which is, how did you come to the world of Lit RPG and Game Lit?
Lit RPG and Game Lit both exist in like the nexus between video games and comic books. You know, it's kind of anime and video games, and it all kind of leads into this Game Lit Lit RPG world. And the first author to get me into that I first kind of, you know, I kind of sucked me in was a guy named Vasily Mahanyenko. And he wrote the Way of the Shaman series. Kind of my first look into something that wasn't an isekai reincarnated by truck-kun kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us what happened after Vasily.
Then I kind of went on a deep dive into the internet. Because, you know, anything you love, the internet's got it in abundance. So I kind of went off everywhere, and I've tried to find these little novels written by people. You know, web novels is what they are, but it has nothing to do with the website. You know, it's just people write stuff and they put it out there. So I went on a deep, deep, you know, rabbit hole of looking for more of this lit RPG stuff. And that's how I came to Robert Bevan and Drew Hayes, is because of that. And I fell in love with the Superpowered series immediately.
So would you put superpowers in the lit RPG genre as well?
Not really. It's just, like I said, coming from comic books, I love superhero stories. You know, I wrote one, so obviously that was a huge inspiration for me. I was like, oh, sweet. You know, writing a story about superheroes just sounds so cool. Like, I've got to try that. And that's kind of, I don't want to say Drew Hayes was the main inspiration for it, but he was pretty big.
Ah, sorry, I'm going to tell Drew Hayes that he was the main inspiration.
Absolutely fine. Tell him he's awesome.
I will do that. So this is probably in sort of the chronology here of what we're talking about. This is right around the time that you discovered Royal Road. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I first came to Royal Road, I was like a kid in a candy store. There were so many stories and so many cool people just trying different things. And, you know, you're running into fan fiction, and a lot of that is, you know, power fantasy stuff. But some of it, you know, just gets into the deep ideology of who these characters are and how they would react if they were slightly different, you know? Like any bibliophile, when he finds a library, just freaks out, you know? And that was me. And when I got to Royal Road.
Okay, so you get to Royal Road, you're going through all kinds of stuff. It sounds like, you know, you discovered a lot of these people who grew big on Royal Road. How long did you consume on Royal Road before you started writing your own stuff?
Well, writing had always been a passion from a very young age for me, but I never really took it seriously until like I was much older. And like when I had hit Royal Road, there was always that looming button of, hey, if you want to write stuff, you can just push this over here and you can become an author. And, you know, it's kind of just hovered over there for a while until I finally like, you know what, let me just put some together. Let me just throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And I was like, okay, well, what am I passionate about? Superheroes and video games. And I kind of, if I was going to take the plunge, it was going to be something I was passionate about. And so I went, okay, let's write a story about superheroes. And that's kind of where Modern Age Online came to be.
Modern Age Online is kind of a blanket, right? It's a world. And then what we're about to hear is kind of like a spinoff of that, kind of. Tell us about the larger world, the Modern Age Online.
Modern Age Online is like super in the future, super futuristic, where we have finally reached the Matrix. We have allowed ourselves to be uploaded into a video game. And now these people, these, you know, regular people are coming online to this video game where people can play as superheroes or supervillains. I've got another series called The Werewolf of Undertown going right now. And that is about the villain side of the Modern Age Online video game.
Very cool. So you're writing these things. Obviously, they're hugely popular. Tell us about your experience so far on Royal Road.
Well, here's the thing. I was positive for the longest time. I was writing Modern Age Online and I loved it. I was having fun. I was talking to the community and I was doing some stuff. And then I went too hard too fast and I burnt out for the longest time. And I kind of dropped Modern Age Online until it got bad, until some industrious individual, let's call him that, decided to steal my work and publish it online on Amazon.
How did you discover that?
The Royal Road was very good about that because they are the ones who came to me and said, hey, I think someone's stolen your stuff. It's this guy here. Here's the link. Go figure it out. You know, go see it. And I did. And I talked to Amazon and that was a time and a half. I finally got my stuff back. And it was at that point where I was like, is this something viable monetarily? You know, could I sell these things? And, you know, because at Royal Road, it was just fun. It was just this, you know, just me just being creative, you know. And when it got stolen, I kind of turned it and went, I was like, you know, if someone wants this enough to steal it, probably means I could sell it.
Yeah.
So I kind of refocused a bit on Modern Age Online, but the passion for it wasn't there until recently. So I kind of started the side project, which is A Werewolf in Undertown. And that was where the new passion is coming back. You know, I'm writing about this new character, this new same world, just this new character, this new viewpoint. And now I've kind of feel the urge to go back to Modern Age Online.
Well, so I have a couple of questions from everything that you've just said. As an author, how do you avoid getting your work stolen? Do you recommend maybe authors maybe only put out a portion of a piece and then put out the other portion, you know, under digital rights protection, so, you know, some sort of platform or Patreon? How do you avoid getting your work stolen?
Well, I think with the way the internet is, the way everything is going right now, I mean, artists everywhere in every form are being stolen from, and it sucks across the board. And whenever you put pen to paper, whenever you start typing, you instantly own that copyright. So, you know, that's kind of a saving grace right there. But if we're talking mere avoidance, I think you'd have to find some kind of DRM, you know, aid, or like you said, Patreon, because that is gated by people paying you. So only people who are paying you can get that kind of snippet or those chapters. So I think Patreon would be a good way, maybe some sort of DRM, but I don't know. I always hesitate to, you know, suggest adding locks onto things that you don't control yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned you got burnt out. So one of the authors that I talked with, his name is Jack Pembroke. We probably spent 30 minutes talking about like posting and getting viewership is a very like scientific thing, at least from Jack's point of view. And he had good advice, but we talked about a publishing schedule. Right. And so he started off by doing a once a week publishing schedule, and he found that his viewership would kind of trail off. And so, you know, he's leaning more towards doing like smaller bites, but daily bites. Right. So he's writing daily. Is that where you were? Is that what led to sort of getting burnt out?
It was the publishing schedule is what it was, is because I was so excited. I was doing this thing. I was creating something, you know, I felt really good about what I was creating. I mean, I had a few detractors like everyone does, but I loved what I was doing and I just threw myself at it full hog, you know, and I think I was doing 4 times a week. I was uploading a chapter, just And it wasn't, I didn't plan in chapters ahead. It was, I was writing that day and publishing that day to Royal Road. I wasn't scheduling things out. I was just going, and I just, it got too much. And I was like, okay, am I having fun doing this anymore? And the answer came back and it was kind of no, you know? And I was like, okay, I've got to stop. And I stopped and I took a break, and the break went on. I was like, I'll take a break for a month. And the break kept going and going. It turned into a year. It turned into a couple of years at this point, you know, and it's just, and now I'm kind of scared to go back to it and be like, hey, I'm back, everybody. And everybody's like, well, screw you. We're gone, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, writing and then publishing the same day, talk about hitting that dopamine bar, right?
Oh, like
that,
yeah.
You know, just waiting for the feedback and everything.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the community was actually nice. There were people talking about my stuff and it felt great to see people, you know, like you said, the dopamine hit, just, yeah, I dove into it and it felt so good. But eventually, like anything, you build a tolerance.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've, like Stephen King, right? You've created this larger world where now stories are referencing places in other stories, right? So you have this rich world that you can write these little spin-off stories in, or whole novels. Are you with this new project, are you back on Royal Road?
Oh yeah, yeah. Werewolf in Undertown is on Royal Road. It's doing well. It's doing okay. You know, I'm having some fun. I've learned my lesson. I write ahead. I publish chapters ahead, you know, and it seems to be doing well. It seems to be doing all right.
That's actually great advice. And so if the listeners are listening to this whole season, they're going to hear this advice from multiple authors, and that's stay ahead of the curve, right? Have a backlog of chapters and then, you know, put it out when you're ready to put it out. Cool. Well, I've noticed that some of the people that we both have listened to, right, they've started on Royal Road, they've built a following, and they've then created a Patreon page, which they've used to like maybe fund an audiobook or fund some, you know, publishing their work. Is that in your future? Is that your path through publishing, or are you even looking to publish?
See, I kind of did it backwards because I started self-publishing and then I got the Patreon. You know what I mean? So I started self-publishing. It was doing okay on Amazon. You know, a lot of the sales were, it's mostly on Kindle Select, which is by page turn. So that's fine. But then I jumped to the Patreon, and instead of going the official publishing deal, what I want to do is I want to turn it into a comic book. And hopefully with the help of Amazon and the Patreon, I can start, you know, getting the tools together to create, you know, a comic book. And then I've got notes that go back to the start of Modern Age Online about a tabletop game that I'm trying to get started about superheroes and stuff like that, all taking place in the modern age world. So that's kind of the trajectory, is kind of, you know, keep selling on Amazon, self-publishing, get the Patreon up, because I'm completely a social media Luddite. You know, I don't have a Twitter. I don't do any of that stuff, and it hurts. And I really was slow on getting the Patreon going, because even now it feels kind of sleazy to me. I don't know what it is about Patreon, but it absolutely makes sense in my head. But when I tell myself, hey, you're going to create these chapters, and then you're going to hold these chapters back. You're not going to let people have these chapters. They have to pay for these chapters. And it just feels kind of weird, you know, but I understand I am technically a creator. I love what I do. I would like to get paid for what I do. So that's kind of where Patreon is. And if I want to do some of the things that I think would be really cool with the world that I have created, it's going to take some money. And that's where, you know, I want to see a comic book. I want to see the tabletop game. I want to see all this other stuff. I don't want to just be constrained to just books. Because like I said, when I first fell in love with stories, it was in every aspect of stories, movies and, you know, radio dramas even.
Let me ask you about that then. We had the piece that we're going to hear, the Maxwell Flourish, was voiced by somebody named Andrew James Spooner, who has done some really incredible things, and he did a fantastic job. So let me ask about audiobooks. Like, has this experience maybe keyed you in on another market?
Absolutely. That's always been kind of in the back of my mind. Like, who would I get to do it? Who do I talk to do it? And the fact that Andrew Spooner, you know, read anything that I did was kind of like, oh crap. This dude's worked for the Jim Henson's company, and he's going to read my nerdy story about superheroes. Holy crap. I was kind of blown away by that. And it kind of, like you said, it kind of opened the door to like, I might be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic. And I think people are really going to enjoy it. And it's a really fun story. It's a really cool glimpse into your world. All right. Well, let me ask this. I think this is an important question for people who are listening, because like you, like me, right? We love to read, we love to write, and maybe we want to do more writing. So for those people who want to do more writing out there, those aspiring writers, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, there's so much, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a while and there's so much to, like the burning out thing we went over. I mean, that is a huge aspect, but another one is specifically for lit RPG writers and game lit writers or progression fantasy or however they want to term whatever we do. I would say, and it has been a huge help to me, is notes, notes, notes. We are writing fantasy novels or sci-fi novels about video game elements. So you need to have, like, I have a constant character sheet of my main characters going, like I'm working off a tabletop because I like to have it in front of me what I'm doing. And so as you go forward, you're going to expand upon those stats. So you need to keep those up date, you know, you need to keep them noted, annotated, and ready to go whenever you want to put them in your chapters, because you need to have those ready, because notes are a big part of, you know, just everything I do, because I have a bad habit of, you know, I'll say this character did this at this point and I'll forget about it. And, you know, if I don't make a note about it, somebody will call it out and be like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, come back here. You forgot this. You did this. Patreon and Royal Road has called me out plenty of times. Been like, hey, wait a minute. Didn't you say at this point with this character that this was this? And it's like, oh, crap, you're right.
Yeah, what you say to that is like, I just wanted to see if you were paying attention.
Exactly. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but a big point of contention with my first Modern Age Online was that my main character is technically a mundane. He doesn't have powers, but he's a lizard person, so he can regenerate limbs. And that has been a big point of contention for a lot of readers, has been like, hey, wait a minute. If he's not supposed to have any powers, then why does he get his limbs back? You know, it's like, oh, well, because he's a lizard, you know. It's one of those things as an author where I look back and I go, crap, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have done it, but as I try to bring up the tabletop game, I think to myself, okay, in terms of game mechanics, how that works is this, you know? So I have it all worked out in my head, but...
Well, you just throw up jazz hands and say, because magic.
Magic.
Science fiction
magic.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because he's a superhero.
He's a superhero. You know, if we're going to have some fun here, we need to take a step back. My readers, I hate to call them my audience, but that's kind of what they are, I have a lot of buys with them, and a lot of them are like, okay, that's fine. Every once in a while you get a stickler.
So tell us more about what we're going to hear. So this is called Maxwell Flourish, A Fun Night, and it's a Modern Age Online side story, and it's read by Andrew James Spooner, who we've talked about has done a fantastic job with this, but tell us what we're about to hear.
Well, this is a little snippet, a little glimpse into the world of Modern Age Online. You know, we see a speedster running through the city, and we're going to take a glimpse at some of the mechanics at work and some of the bureaucracies that comes with being a superhero. Like I said, it's basically just a glimpse into the world. It's a glimpse into how Modern Age Online works in the view of a character that I haven't really introduced yet. You know, maybe I will at some point, but this is a speedster known as Maxwell Flourish. He comes into the world already cooked. This is the game's already out. He's coming into it and he's ready to go. You know, he's got that speedster energy. And I really love where Mr. Spooner, Andrew, took him. And it was fantastic to listen to. And I hope readers and listeners of the podcast will enjoy it as well.
Well, I really think there is an audiobook market for this. And I really hope to hear more of this, either on Audible or some other format. And I agree. I think this would be a fantastic comic or graphic novel.
That's, like I said, it was the first thing that came to mind when I envisioned the story was all of these characters, you know, just on a old-fashioned comic book. And it speaks to me. And I really want to see that happen.
And so do we. Well, Israel, tell us, I know you said you're not really big on social media, but where can we find you if we want to reach out to you, or if we wanted to just see your work? What are some of the best places we can find you on the internet?
Of course, there's always Amazon, you know, because like I said, I'm self-published. I put all my stuff out there. And also there is Royal Road. Royal Road is, like I said, where I got my start, where I still live you know, technically to this day, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And that is the big way for most people to get in touch with me, I think, would be Royal Road, because that's how you got in touch with me. And that's how others have, you know, reached out and said, hey, I like this, I like that, I hate this. But yeah, that would be the best place to reach out if people want to reach out and or find me is Royal Road. And I will absolutely give them the big ups to Royal Road for being so great, just as a platform.
All right. Well, Zrael, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really think people are going to enjoy the piece that they hear from you and from Andrew.
Oh, man, I hope so. He did such a phenomenal job. It was fantastic.
All right. Well, thanks for coming tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us down this Lit RPG deep dive. Please consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts and visit us over at longwinded.one, where you can see past episodes and find all of our socials, even our new Discord server. We hope you enjoy.